Hello, and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I am your aptly named host. It's Friday, December 23rd, 2011. I sincerely hope you were with me last week, because if not, you screwed up. You would have missed Facebook Fundamentals with John Hayden, principal of Inbound Zombie and co-author of Facebook Marketing for Dummies. He covered getting your nonprofit on Facebook, how to start, how to Facebook fundraise, attract fans, and integrate with your other channels. You would have also missed your fresh-faced website, our regular tech contributor and the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, Scott Kegler, shared his thoughts on your freshened-up website. When to freshen up? Are you on message, true to mission? Do you have your call to action? This week, it's LinkedIn lovers. Jerry Stengel, principal of VentureNeer. Mark Halpert, principal of Your Best Interest. And Maria Semple, the prospect finder and our regular prospect research contributor, show their love to LinkedIn for research, branding, donor and volunteer management, recruiting board members, and more. That was recorded at National Philanthropy Day, hosted by AFP of Westchester County, where we were a media sponsor. And also today, your board can fundraise. Dennis Miller, principal of Dennis C. Miller Associates. We have a lot of principals on today. There are three principals. So you're going to get your knuckles smacked if you're not paying attention. Dennis Miller, principal of Dennis C. Miller Associates, is going to help you motivate your board for fundraising with training, proper expectations, meaningful experiences, leadership, and more. And that was also recorded at National Philanthropy Day. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, my blog this week is Say Thank You Before You Have To. Make your gratitude sincere, not out of embarrassment. Talk more about that on Tony's Take Two. We're live tweeting the show. Use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio to join the conversation on Twitter. This show is supported by GE Grace Corporate Real Estate Services, and we are grateful for their support. Right now we take a break, and when we return, LinkedIn lovers. So stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95% on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I have for you now a pre-recorded interview, LinkedIn Lovers, from National Philanthropy Day, just about 2 months ago. Three people, expert in LinkedIn, sharing their love on LinkedIn. And here's that interview. Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of National Philanthropy Day. We're at the Edith Macy Conference Center in Briarcliff Manor, New York, hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Westchester County Chapter. And joining me now is Mark Halpert, Managing Partner of Your Best Interest, Jerry Stengel, President of Venture Near, and Maria Semple, Principal of the Prospect Finder. And you'll know Maria because she's a regular contributor to the show. Their seminar topic today at National Philanthropy Day is LinkedIn. Jerry Stengel, why is LinkedIn, why does it deserve a seminar all by itself? Why not general social media?
So I'm going to first tell you what LinkedIn is not, and that's not a stodgy place to put your resume. What it is a research database of 135 million affluent, influential people that you can be, you know, approaching for donations.
So you're saying we can use LinkedIn as a research tool?
Absolutely. So it's very simple to search. You've got a form. You're filling out geography, industry, title, passion, what causes people are interested in, and you draw up a list of people that you're connected to.
Okay, Mark Halpert, are there other uses for nonprofits in LinkedIn other than the prospect research, visibility-wise?
Yeah, sure. What you want to do in LinkedIn is you want to fill out the profile completely and thoughtfully with the right terms, the right words. Know what sections of LinkedIn's profile are searchable so you can get found when people are actually searching for you. And then want to go one step farther than that, and you want to make your entire organization, your entire nonprofit, the people in the nonprofit and the nonprofit itself look as good as you can, everybody uniformly.
Okay. So we're scrutinizing all our employees' LinkedIn profiles. Is that what you mean?
It's part of branding. It's part of branding. You have to have the right brand. Everybody has to tell the right story. If you have the executive director who doesn't tell the story, but the people underneath him or her who do tell the story, you have a disconnect. And we see that a lot with nonprofits. We're trying to work with nonprofits to understand this is a total package for the entire organization, but its fundamentals are the people themselves. Everybody's got to look really good.
Maria Semple, we're talking about prospect research, and we'll go into more detail on that. Branding, what's another reason that nonprofits should be involved in LinkedIn?
Well, you know, you can make an awful lot of great connections in terms of looking for additional donors, allied professionals, board members for the organization. So it's really a treasure trove of trying to connect with some people who are out there right in your own communities if you are a community-based organization. And you can do searches filtered right down to a specific zip code, for example, if you're looking for people with a specific expertise or an interest in the type of programming and services that you provide.
What can we do around allied professionals? And first, let's tell people, we want to keep you out of jargon jail. But I mean, if you're in jargon jail, you're not going to be able to come back and be on the show again, so let's keep you out of there. What do you mean when you say allied professionals first?
Allied professionals might be, for example, if you are an organization like the Civil Liberties Union, for example, you might be looking to connect with more attorneys, right, in your community, who could be potentially great volunteers and board members for your organization. So this would enable you to identify some of those professionals in your communities who can help benefit your organization, not only perhaps with their time, but with their money as well.
And how do we find them?
Well, there is an advanced search page on LinkedIn, and so it is right next to the general search box. You click on advanced search, and you'll come up with a whole new page to do the searching. Now, this is free, by the way. We're not talking about a fee-based portion of LinkedIn. The advanced searches are free, and the data results are really quite amazing.
Mark, you talked about branding and uniformity. Let's say a little more about that, because I think it's an aspect of social media that nonprofits aren't paying that much attention to. They're thinking about their message going out, but they're not thinking about what they look like as they're conveying messages.
Well, one thing about LinkedIn that's really unique, and I think it separates it from Facebook, where a lot of nonprofits are really doing a lot of work, is
right.
That LinkedIn is, the audience of LinkedIn is a professional man and woman who look at LinkedIn all day long in their business day. They might not look at Facebook till they get home, if they even do that in the evening. So people can look at LinkedIn and commit to each other, work with each other, communicate with each other. I have nonprofits that exclusively use LinkedIn as their communication with their constituencies. For example, a school in Stamford, Connecticut, they realize that all the parents in their school are professionals. So they don't mess with Facebook. They go directly to LinkedIn to have their parent-teacher organization communications go out. So it really depends upon who you're trying to attract and how to convey the information. It's branding, it's specific targeted communication skills. And it's just a tremendous tool. It gets better and better every day. I think there's new attributes to LinkedIn like two or three times a week where they're taking something they've had for about 3 or 4 years and they're just tweaking it a little more. This week they tweaked events. Last week they tweaked some parts of your profile that you probably never even knew you had to fill out or could fill out. There's places to go into LinkedIn that are not completely obvious. That's what the three of us do. We're going to show in our seminar today where to find all this good stuff.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Lively conversation.
Top trends.
Sound advice.
That's Tony Martinetti.
Yeah, that's Tony Martinetti.
Nonprofit radio. And I'm Travis Frazier from United Way of New York City.
And I'm Michelle Walsh from the U.S. Fund for UNICEF.
And I'm Tony Martinetti. One of those commercials you heard was Betsy Cohen, psychic medium. Betsy's going to be a guest on the show on Friday, February 10th. And what is a psychic medium going to do with respect to nonprofits? You will have to stay tuned. If you really want to know in advance, then you can always sign up for our email alerts, weekly email alerts on the Facebook page. But yes, we are going to have a psychic medium. Betsy will be a guest. You're listening to my interview with Jerry Stengel, Mark Halpert, and Maria Semple, LinkedIn lovers from National Philanthropy Day at the AFP Westchester County. AFP of Westchester County. And here's the rest of that interview.
All right, Jerry, what's some of that? Jemmy. I'm so excited by the good stuff on LinkedIn. I'm calling Jerry Stengel Jemmy. Jemmy. She's a gem, but that's not her name.
So
share some of these hidden treasures in LinkedIn.
So actually, I want to take a step back and talk a little bit about some research that Ventioneer conducted over the summer and is going to be coming out with in the next few weeks. LinkedIn is the most underutilized and underappreciated big social media among nonprofits, and yet it has the greatest potential. So if you were to look at small businesses versus nonprofits' use of LinkedIn, among socially active nonprofits, it's about 50% using LinkedIn, versus for small businesses, it's about 70%. And among power users, people that really, really use all social media extremely well, it's 80%. If you look at the effectiveness rating, nonprofits have a very effective rating of 11% versus power users, which are 39%. So a dramatic increase. And the reason is that nonprofits don't get what LinkedIn really is, and that it is a research database. So maybe 7% of nonprofits are using it as a research database versus power users, which it's about 44%. And about a quarter of nonprofits are using LinkedIn to get an introduction versus power users, which I think is about 53%.
Okay. This is all very interesting because we're talking about using LinkedIn for branding, for prospect research, but also for research beyond prospect research. I mean, this advanced search that Maria was talking about and the effectiveness rating that you're talking about, Jerry. Now, how is this effectiveness rating determined? What does that mean, really?
So it was self-reporting. It was a 4-point scale. The number one would be very effective, and number four would be not at all effective.
Okay.
So, whoever was answering the survey got to rate themselves and say, I'm very effective at LinkedIn, or I'm not very effective at LinkedIn. And if you look at other social media, Facebook and Twitter have much, much higher ratings. And it's that, again, nonprofits aren't getting the powerful uses of LinkedIn, which you can use it to find board members, you can use it to find staff, you can use it to find strategic alliances. It's not just about finding donors.
Okay. Maria Semple, most underutilized yet most promising social media property?
I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly with that. When I'm talking to a nonprofit organization about their presence in the social media landscape, for example, we don't discount the other avenues of social media. But then once we get into a discussion about what LinkedIn can do, not only for you professionally, but for your organization, in terms of your organization's growth, et cetera, and brand awareness. In addition to having the individual profile pages of an individual, I think it's important to note that there are the business pages, the company pages, and nonprofits can have a free, as they call it, company page on LinkedIn. Again, there, you are being exposed in a professional environment to other business professionals, and why not? Why not have a presence in that space as well? As Mark indicated about the searchability, you want to make sure that you have certain keywords there for search engine optimization, et cetera. So this is an opportunity for you to take advantage of another free tool to have not only your professional profile there, but your organization's business profile, your organizational profile.
Mark, where do we find this business page? Or how does an organization find the place to create its business page, because I don't think this is widely known.
No, it's really not widely known, and in fact, it's just been expanded considerably in the past couple of weeks. I just finished a 5-piece blog piece on how nonprofits can really blow out their company profile page. It's several layers deep. It's not just filling out forms. It's about thinking and using the piece of the web that is LinkedIn's company profile page in an intelligent way and telling the story of the nonprofit. What does the nonprofit do? What are the products or the services that the nonprofit offers? And then under those product and services layers, talk about in detail, what does it do? How is it of any use? Why is it a compelling place for somebody to want to know more about it or give money to it? And then you can even recommend certain products or certain services of the nonprofit right on the LinkedIn page. So it builds a lot of attention. It's searchable. It builds a lot more credence to what the nonprofit does than it normally does. And often these nonprofits are suffering with really poor websites, and this makes the website less important, and it puts more eyes on LinkedIn.
Where do we go to find this? A nonprofit leader is going to LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com. He or she is in their own personal profile. Where do they go from there? Are you able to talk them through to find the place where they start to create their own business page?
Sure. When you go into when you land on LinkedIn, you're in your home page. At the top right of the home page, there's a search box. And there's a downward pointing arrow that's right now probably says people as you're looking at your website, because that's at your LinkedIn site. That's really where it defaults to. Click where it says it says companies on the dropdown. Click companies. And then you can type in a search for any company that has a LinkedIn page. If it comes up with no LinkedIn page, which many nonprofits test to see who's done this for us, right, or have we even done it,
right,
then you can add a company profile page. Think about how you add the pictures, the graphics, the logo, the language, how you're conveying your nonprofit. Do you need help? Do you need money? Are you looking for something? And ask. Don't be afraid to tell business professionals where, really, folks, this is where the money is right now in this type of economy. Ask for the help you need.
Mark Halpert is a managing partner of Your Best Interest. Jerry Stengel is president of VentureNear. Maria Semple is principal of the Prospect Finder and a regular contributor to the show. And we're talking about LinkedIn at the National Philanthropy Day hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Westchester County Chapter. Jerry, volunteers, how can we use advanced search to help find people who are likely or even just possible volunteers for our organization?
So I'm so glad you asked that question, because LinkedIn
I was pretty pleased with it myself, to be honest. Now that since you said it, I'll reveal my own pleasure with it. Yeah.
So LinkedIn just added a new feature for volunteer experience and causes. So I really want to urge every volunteer, every nonprofit professional to fill out those fields within their profile, because that's the way that a nonprofit is going to be able to find you. You can be found for a nonprofit that maybe you're not aware of, but is in your sweet spot in the cause or the passion that you really care about.
So you're encouraging an organization to encourage their volunteers to fill out their volunteer section, new volunteer section, and their own personal profile. Is that right?
Correct. So I really want to encourage a nonprofit to encourage every management person, all staffers, all volunteers, including and most especially board members, to fill out and blow out their profile, and more specifically, to fill out that volunteer experience and cause section.
Mark, as we're encouraging volunteers, well, everyone all the constituents to do this, as Jerry just said, can we ensure that there's going to be consistency across all these different profiles in the way they describe their work or their volunteering with our nonprofit? How can we ensure consistency?
Well, someone on the nonprofit staff needs to have ownership of the company profile page and tell the folks who work in the nonprofit or that are volunteers or are board members the message that the organization as a whole wants to convey. Each person can put that into their own words, but let's be consistent in the eventual message that's being put out there. The wonderful thing about LinkedIn is throughout the profile that you individually have, you can say in so many ways how really special you are, how people need to know more about you. There's nothing wrong with saying that in today's social economy. So tell people how you stand out from the crowd. And if you're really proud of the nonprofit you work for or work in, tell them how you and your nonprofit stand out in the crowd. It's simple. You just have to think it through.
All right. You would stop short then of scripting and giving specific language, you wouldn't go that far. You
said I really wouldn't want to go there. No, yeah. That becomes too stilted. I think the one thing about social media is it's a very natural, it's a very from the gut type of thing of expression. And this is a way that you need to tell the same message, but you need to say it in your own words. And I really encourage my clients to really express who they really are, as opposed to toe a line.
Maria, do you have more advice around what you're encouraging volunteers and employees and other constituents that are close to the organization to say in their own LinkedIn profile?
No, I do. You know, I concur, though, with both Mark and Jerry that this is an opportunity for the nonprofit, again, to get their name out there. Because if, let's say you have between your board and your core base of volunteers, let's say you've got 100 people, right? That's 100 ambassadors for your organization that if they, on their own individual profiles, indicate that they are a volunteer with XYZ organization, then, again, it's another place on the web where your organization name is mentioned. So, you know, again, it's just getting out there, getting that exposure. So it's an opportunity for you to have yet another free venue to have to get your name out there.
Okay. What else, Maria, that I haven't asked about LinkedIn that you're going to be bringing, the three of you are going to be bringing out in your seminar later?
I think we've pretty much covered it. Mark and Jerry, have we left anything out?
So there's one point that I want to make, and that's
okay,
nonprofits complain the most about the amount of time that social media takes. And power users, interestingly, spend the most time, 25 hours a week on social media, do not complain at all about the time because they're getting the value out of it. And the last point that I want to make is when I got into social media, the easiest one for me to do was LinkedIn, and it was the least time intensive. So I think you'll get the most out of LinkedIn as a nonprofit.
And what's been your experience, Jerry? What kind of payoff have you seen from the time you do spend on LinkedIn?
I get a lot of traffic directly to Ventioneer, which provides webinars and free education.
Okay. Mark, how about you? What's been your return, I guess, on LinkedIn?
Well,
I
have another business aside from being a LinkedIn coach, and I get business. I book business actually into that business from people who find me on LinkedIn or refer me through LinkedIn. I just booked a good-sized piece of business out of San Francisco this past week from it. One thing I want to add to what Jerry is saying, you can think it's time-consuming, but it's an investment in you. There's no better person to invest in your personal brand than to use LinkedIn and keep commenting on things that you read, information you want to convey. Give more than you receive. Pay it forward. Talk about items that are of interest to you or articles you've read in a headline update, and people will remember good stuff that you share with them, and then you're in their eyes again and again, and people come to me and say, oh, I just saw your update. I forgot. I needed to talk to you.
Yeah.
So then I'm back on their radar again.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Your personal page and your business and the organization's
and
business
company
page
profile
as well.
Page, right.
Maria, anything, what has been your return on the time you spend on LinkedIn?
You know, I think for me, LinkedIn has really kind of served as my my repository for managing contacts. You know, we talk about all these fancy contact management systems and so forth. But in terms of me as a business owner, if I meet somebody at a networking event or at a conference like today, and if we exchange business cards, if that person does not have a presence on LinkedIn, unless that person is going to make an extremely extraordinary effort to stay in touch with me, it will probably drop off. However, if we're on LinkedIn, then I'm occasionally seeing their updates, their posts, they're seeing mine, and we're staying front and center with each other in this world that is just so incredibly harried and fast. So, again, it's an opportunity, I think. Mark touched upon sharing of information. It's a wonderful way for you to, if you can, as a nonprofit executive, this is what I tell nonprofit executives, if you can at least once a week, have something intelligent to say on your update box. You may have an article to share that you've read elsewhere. You don't have to make it up yourself. You know, if you're speaking somewhere, if your organization has an event, you're sponsoring something, this is an opportunity for you to get the word out. So that update box is phenomenal and will help keep your network in the loop with what's going on.
The topic is the underutilized yet most promising of the social media properties, as Jerry Stengel said, LinkedIn. And the speakers are Mark Halpert, managing partner of Your Best Interest. Jerry Stengel is president of Ventioneer. And Maria Semple is principal of The Prospect Finder. Mark, Jerry, Maria, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks so much,
Tony.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. This is Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of National Philanthropy Day at the Edith Macy Conference Center in Briarcliff Manor, New York, hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals Westchester County Chapter.
My thanks to those three LinkedIn lovers, that LinkedIn triumvirate. We take a break now. When we come back, it's Tony's Take Two, and then my interview with Dennis Miller. Your board can fundraise, so please stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95% on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Reminder that we are live tweeting the show. Use hashtag Nonprofit Radio. It's time now for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. My blog this week is Say Thank You Before You Have To. I had a couple of businesses write and call me to thank me for being a customer of theirs, but they really weren't showing genuine gratitude because my credit card had been canceled because the number got compromised. So these were a couple of businesses that I had automatic payments set up on, and I had forgotten about those, and so they couldn't get the money. So then all of a sudden they needed, so they wanted the number. And along with that request for my new number came how grateful they were to have my business. But I think at that point it would have been embarrassing for them not to have said that, because I had been a customer for 3 years with one of them and between 5 and 6 years with the other. So, and I had never heard any expression of gratitude from either of them before that. So that got me thinking, why wait until you have to say something to somebody, like we got to get back in your pocket, to say thank you? Why not show gratitude at other times when it's not embarrassing to not show the gratitude? And I think that has implications for fundraisers, and that's what my blog post is about. So say thank you to people, whether they're donors or colleagues or loved ones, whatever, before you really have to say thank you, because then it's really genuine. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, December 23rd. And you'll find the more on that subject on my blog at mpgadv.com. I have an interview now also from the Association of Fundraising Professionals Westchester Chapter, National Philanthropy Day, and this is with Dennis Miller. Your board can fundraise. Here's that interview.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of National Philanthropy Day. We're at the Edith Macy Conference Center in Briarcliff Manor, New York. We're hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals Westchester County Chapter. My guest now is Dennis Miller. He's the president of Dennis C. Miller Associates. He works with leaders of nonprofit organizations who want a more motivated and cohesive board, and his seminar topic is how to engage and motivate your board to to participate in fundraising. Dennis Miller, welcome.
Welcome, Tony. Thanks for being here.
What's the challenge that you see among nonprofits in getting their board to do fundraising?
It's a combination of things. Probably the basic premise behind why boards are reluctant to get engaged is because they don't have the confidence. We don't do a very good job when we're recruiting board members to explain up front of what we want, what we expect of them. And then the second thing is we have unrealistic expectations of our boards. We think just because we now have recruited the president of the bank or the vice president of business development to join our board that they know about fundraising, and they don't. So this is both an art and a science, and I have to be taught it. The other thing which I talk about...
So let me just stop you for a sec. So they might be very sophisticated in their practice, in their business, very successful, but that doesn't mean that they know charitable fundraising.
It doesn't translate. You might be the best attorney, best marketing person. It doesn't translate to fundraising. And what I help my clients with, Tony, and what I write about in my book is sort of the tin cup theory to the investment theory. And the tin cup theory goes something like this. You know, when I was a little boy, my mom took me to Radio City Music Hall during the holiday season, and you had to kind of go through the Port Authority from New Jersey. There was always a guy selling pencils in a tin cup with a leg, looked like he had one leg, on some cardboard box. And most people perceive fundraising as begging. And the biggest fear they have is a sense of rejection. So most people are terrified of fundraising because they see it as begging and rejection.
And so how we start to before we get to breaking that down, let's start about talk about something that you mentioned earlier, setting expectations for board members. When do we start to set the expectations?
We need to start that, Tony, when we begin to identify and recruit board members, not after. When we are looking for board members, we need to be looking for up front, you know, are they have the capability of being a board leader? Don't look for the board chair when the board chair steps down. Look for the time of recruitment. It's the same thing with philanthropy and fundraising. Let them know the expectations. Let them know the kind of dollar range you're hoping for them to make a contribution for. Let them know what your kind of activities with special events or how to help them open up doors and cultivate. Let them know up front what is expected. We often fail to do that. We have sort of the warm heart theory. We'd rather get you on the board at any price, even if we think, you know, we don't want to bring a fundraiser. It might scare you off the board.
Yeah, that's a big mistake because fundraising is a critical function of boards.
It's a huge mistake. And so we get into this situation where, you know, the development office becomes extremely unhappy because the board isn't helping out. The board feels very frustrated with the development office because he or she's not raising enough money. Comes sort of a vicious cycle, and it goes into these ruts and round and round again.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like to see these expectations in writing?
Oh, absolutely. I believe this should be actually individual board member responsibilities that you actually sign when you come on the board. You should sign up for it, I think, every time you have a new term. I think it should be heavily discussed as part of board orientation at a board meeting. And you kind of build a culture of not just responsibility, but you build a culture of accountability. And we, as a sector itself, generally speaking, sort of failed to do that.
All right. So let's go back to what we were on, the subject of begging. Now, right. So how do we get people to recognize, board members, that this is not begging, this is giving to a critical mission that you're in love with?
What I do, Tony, is I ask a very simple question. At a board retreat or at a board meeting, tell me what your top achievements are. It is amazing to me how many organizations struggle to tell you what their achievements are.
Yeah.
And so you start with the process of getting people to understand that why do people really give money? And they really give money now, besides they give to people because they've been asked or they give to someone they trust and respect. The two biggest changes that have taken place in philanthropy over the past decade or so is people now give to success, not to stress, and they give to opportunities, not needs. So the key to success is to begin your organization and understanding what are your achievements, how do you measure success, what is the value you provide to the community, how do you make a difference in the lives of others.
Or outcomes, is that another way of saying outcomes. How do you measure your outcomes, and outcomes. What are they, and how do you measure them?
Because it's all now about investing in your success, not about giving to your distress. And when you're in that mindset of the tin cup theory, the board is not going to be engaged. Your development is not engaged. So what I teach people in both my speaking, my lectures, and my books, and my consultation is how to make that transition. And part of it is a process, but it's how do you find a meaningful experience for the board? How do you just move the board level of participation up from just being a fiduciary strategic to being a partner and a leader? How do you continually re-examine your mission and purpose? How do you constantly strive for success? When board members feel responsible for your success, they're more likely to be engaged.
Okay, let's break some of those down. A meaningful experience. How do we, now we've recruited a board member, we have hopefully set the expectations correctly about around fundraising, and that's what you and I are talking about, motivating your board for fundraising. Right. How do we make fundraising meaningful for the new board member?
Tell people or talk to people, and by the way, I mean, I did this. I'm a former CEO, I'm a former board chair, so I'm not just a consultant. I've done this for myself, so it's a little
easier. We know you're bona fide.
Okay,
questioning your credentials.
So, my point to your listeners is that I think it's the job of the board chair and the job of the CEO to identify the talents, the unique talents that each unique board member has, and try to find some way of bringing out that talent, give them some responsibility, find a way to engage them so they feel a partnership with you, not just handing out, jobs, roles, responsibilities, and putting them in a little box that don't cross my box. The key to success is moving a board member from the founding fiduciary strategic board to one of leadership. I think when you have a leadership board and they're working with you and they're sharing ideas and sharing experiences and asking you questions, they're automatically going to become more engaged.
How are we going to get to what their individual personalities and expertise is around fundraising? How does the CEO and the board chair assess what each person's going to be good at?
Well, it starts with your expectation up front.
Okay.
But you have to find out. Some people...
Just a conversation? People?
I think it's a conversation, a process.
Okay.
It's what I tell people all the time. You don't put a 10-year-old up at plate at Yankee Stadium and expect them to hit a home run. We have to help people build their confidences. We've got to find small ways of building success. The more steps for success, it helps build their self-confidence. And I find it's all about confidence building. And we need to do a much better job as CEOs, as board leaders, in helping develop the confidence in others. It's not that people don't want to do it. It's not that people don't want to help you raise money. They're afraid to, and they're not sure how to do it. But it's about building self-confidence.
They do want to help you because they love the mission.
Yeah,
they want others to love it, and they want to see it thriving.
Absolutely. So it's about how do we help other people build confidence.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry. I cut you off. The idea that I think is important is that every person doesn't have to be asking for a gift. I mean, aren't there a lot of things around fundraising and everybody doesn't have to be sitting face-to-face and asking for a donation?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that scares the people, the jeeters, when you ask them you're going to be asking others for a gift here. I actually don't even, sometimes I want my board to be asking, but what I want my board to do for me I want them to advocate for my mission. I want them to tell their friends and neighbors how proud they are to be part of the organization. I want them to help open up doors and help cultivate relationships. That is the most important thing that I want, or a development officer or CEO wants, is have the board help cultivate relationships. And you do that, and you'll do that when you really begin to feel passionate about that mission. And that's the key. That's the key to success. I'll be the CEO, and I'll ask him for the gift, or someone else that knows him much better may offer a gift. I want the board to help open doors and cultivate relationships. I also want them to help identify potential gift potential. I want them to write a little personal note on the annual appeal. Hey, Tony, hope we can count on you for support again, Dennis. That's what I want my board people to do.
Okay.
We start off with this fear. We immediately say we got to ask others for gifts. That'll come in time. We certainly may want you to ask people for sponsorships for events, which is all profit comes at the bottom line. But I'm not a big proponent of actually have the board do the asking until they are ready for it, until they're mature as board members.
Until we've built up their confidence.
Until we build up their confidence.
Let's break some of these down. Opening doors. How can a board member be helpful in making introduction, opening doors, hosting events, or just bringing people to the agency, or what?
Well, Tony, there are a number of ways. Certainly bringing a friend or a colleague to a special event and let them get a chance to see the organization, meet some of the people for the organization. So that's very helpful. Number two is that when you are at a meeting, One of your board meetings, or when you're at one of your membership meetings, or in your country club, you know, over a cocktail, tell people about how much you enjoy being on this organization, what's going on. And then one of the things that is great to be able to do is if you can host like a cultivation event at your home, maybe for 10 couples, you know, 5 couples, you know, some wine and cheese, tell them about the organization. Tell them you want to take on a, tell them on a tour. Introduce them to the president. And it's a relationship building. It's cultivation building. That is the ideal thing. If you ask most development officers, that's what they want their board to do.
And we're going
to
break those down into – we're going to get into some more detail. I just want to remind people that Dennis Miller is the president of Dennis C. Miller Associates. He works with leaders of nonprofit organizations who want a more motivated and cohesive board. And Dennis and I are talking about motivating your board around fundraising. You mentioned assessing gift potential of a prospect. How would a board member help with that?
Well, one, the board member may have some sense of their home values, their wealth. They may know if they're making political contributions. They may have an idea of how they're doing economically or not, so they can share that. Now, there's a, you know, beyond the scope of my discussion with you, Tony, today, and you know a lot of people like Maria Semple and others who sort of evaluate, you know, gift potential for people and all the different softwares that are out there. But a board member, if they know someone, probably has a fairly good idea of what they think that potential may be.
Okay. Maria Semple, of course, Dennis mentioned, is our regular prospect research contributor, and we're also going to be talking to her later today on the subject of LinkedIn, which she's covered on my show as a contributor, but she's on a panel today talking about LinkedIn. What about thanking donors? You mentioned that board members can be useful in that respect. How? Let's flesh that out.
Yeah. One of the best ways that I think to get board engagement in fundraising is to thank donors, what I call a stewardship night. A stewardship night is where every board member may get 5, maybe 10 names, and it's scripted. And so if you made a gift, whether it's $100 or $1,000, each board member is provided a script of calling the donor and say, listen, hi, I'm Dennis Miller. I'm on the board of whatever. I want to thank you for the gift of $100 you gave this year. Because of your gift, we were able to do the following thing, do something with children, pediatrics, or whatever. And what it does is connect you with the person. Therefore, people like to be acknowledged for the gifts, and the more likely that you acknowledge and thank them, the more likely they are to contribute to you in the future.
It sounds like the sole purpose of that call is to say thank you, not thank you and would you make another gift.
No, that would turn them off. You got to thank them. So that's a big way.
Yeah, you were going to mention another.
Well, the other way is obviously is, you know, with little personal notes and little letters thanking them. And obviously, you know, that kind of a process. But you want to, when you personally know them, but if you don't know them, have the board divide up some names of donors and make that call every year. Yeah, you absolutely do not want to thank them for a gift and ask them for a gift. That defeats the whole purpose of it.
Okay. What about for institutional fundraising? So if the nonprofit's going after foundation or corporate support, how can board members be useful there?
Well, one of the ways that a board member can be useful that is, first of all, take a look at who's on the board or who's on the executive team of that corporation or foundation that you're soliciting from. It really helps if you can maybe identify someone and say, listen, I don't know the person, but I know the firm they work for, and I know someone who works for that firm, so maybe we can make an introduction. That's one way. Number two, the board would be very helpful if they can review that foundation or that corporation, their website, along with the development office, and look at the criteria of why they're giving. Too often people just send in grant applications without understanding the criteria, what they're looking for, and get automatically neglected or rejected. So that's kind of where I think the board member role can play.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Carol Ward from the Body Mind Wellness Program. Listen to my show for ideas and information to help you live a healthier life in body, mind, and spirit. You'll hear from terrific guests who are experts in the areas of health, wellness, and creativity. So join me every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkingAlternative.com. Professionals serving community.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Kate Pala, Executive Director of Dance New Amsterdam, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
And on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, you're listening to my interview with Dennis Miller. Your board can fundraise. Here's the end segment of that interview.
Okay, so to flesh out the details of that, you would actually be sharing with the board a list of organizations and people who are affiliated with that with other organizations to see who knows who?
Absolutely, Tony. What I would do is maybe identify the top 10 corporations or foundations we're trying to put into our package of solicitations, show who's on the executive team, show who's on your respective boards, and ask people, do they know anybody, or do you think they know someone who can get to somebody? It's really helpful to, prior to submitting an application, if you can build a relationship. What I have done in the past is obviously, is if I know the person on the corporation or the foundation, ask if we can have a cup of coffee with my client, set up a little meeting, and then usually they will say, you know, we're not focusing this year on that, but we're focused on this, so they can help them tweak their, yeah, pick their proposal a little bit better.
Dennis, is it appropriate to ask a board member to host events or in their home, perhaps, or is that going beyond?
No, I think it's a responsibility. Now, I don't think it's realistic that you're going to have everybody, but if you have a board of 15 people, you know, they ask two or three people a year, maybe host a little event at their home. It doesn't have to be some major gala,
yeah,
but
yeah,
host some friends at their home, barbecue, cocktails, hors d'oeuvres. That's a great way. And say everybody, everybody bring 5 or 10 people. I mean, that's a. I chaired the board of St. Joseph Regional High School in Montville for a number of years. Chaired their campaign.
Oh, St. Joe's. I grew up in Old Tappan.
There you go.
Some of my friends went to St. Joe's.
There you go. So my son graduated in 2005, and I had people come over to my house. It was pretty cool because at the time, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, his son, went there. So we had a cultivation event at my house. We had one at Mayor Giuliani's house in the city. And, brings people involved, engaged, and breaks the walls down a little bit.
And people were probably impressed with his home. But he doesn't own that. The taxpayers own it.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's Gracie Mansion. So
exactly.
Don't, let's keep it. He's no longer the resident. He never was the owner.
He was in private residence at the time.
Yeah,
we didn't go to Gracie Mansion.
All right. Oh, okay. And that's another way of helping to build confidence, I think, because you're finding something that a board member can easily do, host a half a dozen or a dozen people in their home.
Listen, I think, I'm going to go over this again. The biggest thing that we fail to do as CEOs, development directors, or board members, we automatically think because you're the president of the bank, you should be confident in doing this, and they're not.
Yeah.
It doesn't translate. So we have to help build that confidence. And those organizations that spend some time and energy and investment in trying to build their confidence are the ones that have the most powerful success, long-term success, increasing donors and increasing dollars.
In just the minute and a half that we have left or so, Donis, what about the recalcitrant board member? Now, they're already on the board, and they're just not willing to help with fundraising in any of these respects, whether it's hosting an event or asking people, they're just not willing.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I do with my clients is I look at to find out, particularly when I do a lot of board governance, board performance assessments, do you have a reappointment process? And what you want to be able to do is, listen, not everybody's going to be able to host a party. I do expect for my clients that every board member make a personal gift annually to the organization. Not so much, you know, for getting something returned like a golf outing or gala, to make a gift subject to your means. Now, again, if you go back to the beginning of the conversation we had, Tony, if there's expectations of the board member are clear up front, and over a period of time you have not lived up to your expectations, then I would expect that person not to be reappointed to board, or certainly talk to. If you go to my website, www.dcmillerassociates.com, I have a number of articles. One is about how and when to fire a board member. Now, you know, I don't take this lightly, but there's a lot of different ways of how you can deal with these type of board members that have some type of disruptive behavior and don't contribute.
You mentioned you've written books. I'll why don't you give you the opportunity to plug one of your books, and then we have to go on to the outro.
My new book is called The Nonprofit Board Therapist, A Guide to Unlocking Your Organization's True Potential. It's available online at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and AuthorHouse.com. Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure. Dennis Miller, again, is president of Dennis C. Miller Associates, works with leaders of nonprofit organizations who want a more motivated and cohesive board. Dennis, thank you very much for being a guest.
Tony, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You're listening to our coverage of National Philanthropy Day, hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Westchester County Chapter.
My thanks to Dennis Miller and also Jerry Stengel, Mark Halpert, and Maria Semple for being guests that day, and to the people, the organizers of National Philanthropy Day at the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Westchester County Chapter. Next week, there isn't a show. Hope you enjoy your holidays, whatever holiday it is you celebrate. I hope you're enjoying this weekend and New Year's next weekend and spending time with family and friends. That's really what I think the holidays are best at, is bringing us together. So enjoy that time. In the new year, on January 6th, I'm going to have three interviews from the Next Gen Charity Conference. Author and stand-up comic Wally Collins on motivation and living a regretless life. Charles Best, the CEO of DonorsChoose.org, on connecting donors to the causes that they support. And Abby Fallick, CEO of Global Citizen Year, on innovation and leadership to create social change. And also, Maria Semple, the prospect finder, a regular prospect research contributor, will be with me. Keep up with what's coming up. Learn about the show by signing up for our insider email alerts on our Facebook page. Become a fan of the show. Click that like button. You can listen live or archive. You've completed the listening live, but if there are shows you've missed and you want to catch an archive, you go to iTunes. Subscribe and listen anytime on the device of your choice, and you'll find us on iTunes at nonprofitradio.net. On Twitter, you can follow me and use the show's hashtag unabashedly. It is nonprofitradio. Follow us on Twitter. The show is sponsored by GE Grace Corporate Real Estate Services. They call themselves corporate real estate, but they do an incredible amount of work with nonprofits. If you're worried about rising cost of rent, for instance, for your organization, or you need to capitalize on real estate that your nonprofit owns, GE Grace & Company provides you and your board with analysis so that real estate decisions are made with transparency and thoroughness. George Grace has been advising nonprofits on their real estate decisions for over 25 years. You'll find them at gegrace.com or 888-747-2237. The creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. Our line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. Our remote producer is John Federico of The New Rules. And our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. I hope you will be with me in 2 weeks on Friday, January 6th for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, always 1 p.m. Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please tune in on Mondays at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Tune in as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off right with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Hi, I'm Julia.
What are you wearing? Welcome to J&J's Secrets of Style and Beauty.
We know there is beauty and style in all you do, whether it's a job interview,
first date,
or wedding. We also know that not everyone understands what works best for him or her.
We're here to help. Think of us as your personal beauty, style, and grooming gurus. As industry experts, we'll give you the best information for men and women on how to look phenomenal.
Tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
to learn how to look your best.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.